Last week we spoke about the name Yudke Vovke, that it means the aspect of Hashem, the attribute of Hashem that shows his involvement in this world and his readiness to step in and use the world of nature and maybe move the world of nature in a way that it's customized and catered towards the education of man. So now we're going to see immediately after that taught us how that's applied. Like Mamish, the next pasuk right away doesn't just say that Hashem Yudke Vavke Elokim exists, but right away we see how Hashem makes use of it. So pasuk hey, b'chol siach hasadeh, all growth of the field. Terem yihyeh baretz, it wasn't yet in the world. It wasn't yet on earth. In other words, the grass was, as Rashi explains, it was right at the pischa shel aretz. It was like at the opening. It was, you could see the stubs of grass, but you couldn't see the actual grass. So the grass of the field had not yet grown. It existed, but it hadn't started to grow. Kilohim te Hashem Elokim al haaretz. There's that name, Hashem Elokim, the God who's involved in human nature, in human education, by means of guiding nature. So Hashem had not made it rain al haaretz, on the land. The Adam ayin lavodes ha'adama. Man was not yet there to work the soil. So there's a clear link. Rashi talks about this, and many Bali Musar talk about that. Nothing really exists until we daven for it. The idea of rain is a classic example of how this whole thing works with nature and Hashgacha Pratis. Chazal talk about the mafteach of Geshem, the key of rain being in Hashem's hands. So what's this key of rain? So let's have a look here. Let me read you directly from the words of Hirsch. V'odam ayin lavodes ha'adama. The earth develops only for man's sake, for the sake of his moral work on earth. And man wasn't there lavodes ha'adama. Oved is related to, he says, Eved. It's nullifying yourself before some higher purpose. Now, the earth itself has a purpose, and the earth doesn't have to struggle with its Yetzer Hara. It instinctually does the will of Hashem. And the earth's purpose is the Ratzon Hashem. When we say that man is there, lavodes ha'adama, that man's there to serve the earth, that means man's going to listen to Hashem. That's man's job, which then will be servicing the earth, which already knows instinctively to serve Hashem. The Oved, the one who serves, nullifies his own will before the will and the aim of another. Man who is master of the earth, that's our job, what God gave us the earth to master, is directly in the service of God. Indirectly, he's in the service of the earth. For God has put him to work for its purposes. Man exploits the energies of the earth and changes the face of the earth for his own purposes. But what are man's purposes? Man's purposes are given to him by God. So it's all the same. Hence, the earth does not forfeit its purpose by being subject to man's using it for man's purpose. On the contrary, the earth attains its purpose through man taking the earth and using it for what man wants to do with it, should man be listening to Hashem. Physical nature is elevated through man's activity and thus participates in the moral purpose of the world. He always comes back to this phrase, the moral purpose. The moral meaning doing the right thing, doing the Ratzon Hashem, even if it may be a struggle to get there. The earth doesn't have that struggle. The earth, by the earth, it's instinctive. But now a physical instinctive world participates in the moral struggle, if it's being used by man, elevating its purpose too. When man acts in consonance with his name, Adam, remember Adam, Adam, we'll get back to it at the end of this piece today, but Adam, man is not pure. Man isn't part of a filter. We talk about the prism. And the prism isn't the pure white light. It's in a physical world, struggling. But the closest you can get to sensing Hashem is Adam. Out of all of the refracted rays of light in the prism, red, Adam, man is that which senses Hashem the most. So when man acts in consonance with his name, Adam, his mastery of the earth is Avodas HaAdamah. He serves the earth and thus furthers the earth's purpose too. All one big symphony of Avodas Hashem. The earth doing it naturally, but now being a participant in man's moral decision to use the earth for the right reasons. So let's get back to the rain. We talked about Hashem Elohim, Hashem being the God who intervenes in the world for the education of man, Elohim, the God of nature. Elohim grants rain for the sake of man's work on earth. True, the formation of the rain depends on the laws of nature, whose source is the name Elohim, but when, where, and how the rain should fall, that it should come lebracha and not leklala, that's decided by God's moral rule, whose source is in the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. He then goes on to talk about the land of Eretz Yisrael. He reminds us about Kriya Shema, the second paragraph that we say every day. If you listen to Hashem, it's going to rain in the right time, you'll have bracha, and if not, it'll be terrible, and ultimately you're going to have to leave the land. So that's unique to Klal Yisrael, you think, that we have a special thing that Hashem directs nature for Klal Yisrael. But Hirsch adds, we're already hearing it now in the beginning of the Torah, before there was a Klal Yisrael, before there was an Avraham Avinu, before there was, all there was an Adam. Barely, it wasn't even a Chava yet at this point. This relationship between rain and morality was assigned to the Jewish nation and to the land of the Torah, the divine law. But it is neither an exceptional nor an unnatural relationship, meaning it always was there. Rather, this is the original relationship that was intended for man and his earth, for all of man. They are destined to resume this relationship when mankind will submit to the divine law of morality. When we talk about the bracha that's going to exist, Bimos HaMashiach, it's about this, that ultimately, when the world finally, when we finally as a nation live up to what we're supposed to be, and we have Mashiach, and the world then understands what it's like, what Eretz Yisrael looks like, because the land responds to our doing the right things, and there's a mikdash, and there's shechina, and there's bracha in the land, the whole world will then want to follow the Ratzon Hashem. They'll understand the beauty of it, and the whole world will be one big bracha. But it's not that Hashem is then going to start something new. This is the way it was always supposed to be from the beginning of time. So even though it gets narrowed down for a while, we talk about Eini Hashem al Aretz, that the eyes of Hashem are on Eretz Yisrael, and he has a specific love for Klal Yisrael, which he always will have because he gave us this particular role in history. And that never goes away. Our role in history will be remembered forever and will always be relevant. But the fact that this was here from the very beginning means this is really the way Hashem wants the whole world to have a relationship with him. It's not just a Jewish thing that God cares about us and God maneuvers the world for Klal Yisrael's sake. Hashem does that with everything. And it was the initial plan of everything. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit more about water at the next pasuk. So we got about rain. Pasuk vav, ve'ed yale min haaretz. So, I mean, Rashi may say one thing, but don't think that this pasuk is saying, so how did the grass stay alive if there wasn't raining? And the answer would be this, don't read the pasuk this way, says Hirsch. Ve'ed yale min haaretz, it was a vapor that continuously rose from the land, v'hishka es kol pnei adama, and it watered the entire face of the ground. So you may say, the pasuk is saying, you see, that's how the grass managed. It was vapor from under the ground, and that kept everything wet until it rained. Hirsch would like to, he has reasons why he doesn't want to say that, but essentially he says, what was going on here was, it's a introduction to the next pasuk. The ground, the earth, was going to be the material by which Hashem formed the body of Adam. And the whole world, everything that was happening in creation until now, was getting ready for that. And the fact that the ground was wet was the whole of all of creation getting ready. It was the world being ready to make Adam. He says that it was a preparation for the momentous occasion of what it was all for. As we just said, when there's an Adam who struggles morally and does the right thing with the earth, then the earth itself is elevated. And somehow, whether it knows it, the earth doesn't have a brain, and rocks don't have a brain, but it's part of the design of the Bria, that the world itself would be part of this. It's good for the world to have some human being make use of it so that it's now part of a moral elevation. So the fact that the ground is wet is the universe getting ready for an Adam to then master it. Next pasuk, pasuk Zion. This one we'll spend a little time on. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim. Again, there's those two names of Hashem. It's all about the education of man with the usage of nature. Vayitzer Hashem. Then God formed man. Two yuds. We'll talk about that momentarily. Esa Adam. Afar min ha'adama. Dust of the ground. Vayipach ba'apov. And breathed into his face, into his countenance. Nishmas Chaim, the breath, like Nishima, the breath of life. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. And thus man became a living personality, is how he translates it. So there's a lot going on here. First of all, there's the way that the pasuk is stated. By all other creation, it points out that what was already initially put in, the world of nature, the earth itself, nature, then from that released the next part of the creation. For instance, it says earlier, Totse ha'aretz nefesh chaya, let the earth bring forth living creatures. So the earth did it. Hashem made the earth, and from the earth, from the physical, living creatures came out of that. However you understand that, evolution, whatever pshat you want to say, but from the DNA of the physical existence that was already there, the next things came out. If you don't want to say evolution, Hashem designed it within it, and then he gave it a kick, and then the next thing, but it all came from the earth. But over here, it doesn't say that. Over here, by the creation of man, it doesn't say that the earth produced man. It just says that Hashem formed man from earth. The actual creation of man, Hashem did. The material of man was the earth. There's a difference, a big difference. In other words, the life force, the vitality, as Hirsch calls it somewhere in here, that for all animals comes from the physical realm. I guess, I don't know what I'm talking about now. People who know this stuff know better. The Nefesh Bahamas, the living force that's more animalistic, that is when it comes from the earth. Man's, even his life force, doesn't come from the earth. Maybe the material comes from the earth, but his soul, meaning, I don't mean his soul, his spiritual side, his physical soul, the ability to live at all, that doesn't come from the earth, just his body. But the ability to live, that came from Hashem breathing into him. So that the spirit, the nishmas chayim, and the vitality, the ability to live, are two different things, but they came in at the same time, and they are bound up with each other. When an animal's ability to live goes, he's gone, and that goes back to the ground, and he's gone. There's nothing left of him. When a human leaves this earth, so his ability to live wasn't bound up with his body. It doesn't go back to the ground and disappear. His ability to live was linked up with his spirit. And wherever his spirit goes, his life force goes with that. That's why people continue to live after they die in another realm. Because our life itself didn't start. Our bodies, even our bodies, the ability for our bodies to be animated and live comes from Hashem. It comes from Hashem breathing in Nishmas Chaim. It's a very big difference in what we are. We're made of different stuff. The material is the same, but the life force is completely different. So let me read to the way Hirsch puts it. At the creation of all other creatures, scripture says, Totzeh ha'aretz nefesh chayo, let the earth bring forth living creatures. The earth was active in their creation, just as it was active in the creation of plant life. And the earth brought forth their life, just as it brought forth their body. The earth brought forth the living individual. Not so at the creation of man. The earth was passive in his creation, even in the creation of his body. The earth's activity for the creation of man ended before his creation. From the day the earth was created, it watered itself continually to prepare the material for the noblest of creatures. With this preparation of the finest material, the earth completed its whole task. The earth fashioned the material for man's body, and this was its last and noblest product. From then onward, the earth was not active in the creation of man's body. Hashem Elokim formed man's body, and thus its dignity. Man's life and vital soul do not originate from the earth. The body that was formed for man lay lifeless like offer. Hashem Elokim then breathed into his countenance the breath of life, and only thus did man become a living personality. What is it that sets man apart from the animal? The living individuality of the animal depends on earthly matter. Like its body, so its soul too was taken from the earth. Not so man. In the creation of man, only the inert material was taken from the earth. Only when God breathed into him the breath of life did he become a living individual. Herein lies the nobility and immortality of man, and this is the whole source of his freedom, meaning the ability to make choices. That which gives the animal its individuality emanates from individual, meaning its ability to live, emanates from the earth and must eventually return to the earth. Not so that which makes man a living personality, a nefesh chaya. Man's preeminence of the animal is not only in spirit, but also in his vitality, meaning his life force. His life force is linked not to his body, but to his spirit. When he received the spirit, he received life, his soul adhering to the spirit. When the spirit departs from the body, the vital soul is not buried with the remains. For man's soul is bound up with his spirit, not his body. This is why his physical survival and health do not depend on his body alone. And then he goes on to say, Ein mazel bi Yisrael, in Adam yesh lemazel, even all humans. Mazel, meaning we're connected. Our ability to live and how we live is connected to some other realm. It's not, even if the doctors say a person won't live, all of a sudden things happen and you daven hard and they stay alive because our soul is connected to more than just the functions of the physical. Our ability to live is connected to something higher, the spirit itself. Okay. Weiter, one more important nekuda tonight, and that is B'shnei Yitzrecha, the two yuds, in the words by Yitzer, that Hashem formed man with two yuds. So Chazal point out, there are two aspects to man. Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. Man is created both for Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. And Hirsch points out, I'm sure it's a medrash somewhere, that the way we pronounce the word by Yitzer, so one yud is pronounced and one yud is silent. But the other yud is always there. It's in the background, but it's there. We're aware of it. So let me read you the way he puts it. By Yitzer, the yud of one yitzira is audible and the other is quiescent, silent. For man always has a double image. One form is predominant, actually, but the second is not displaced and is always present potentially. Even a lofty person still belongs to the earth. And even in a lowly person, the human spark has not been extinguished. Even the loftiest deed of the Yetzer Tov is preceded with an inner struggle, and the same applies to the deeds of the Yetzer Hara. Both aspects, even a person, right, who was a tzaddik, but there was a moment where he had a struggle with himself, and that's part of who he is now, and that's part of the nobility of man, is the struggle and the ability to make good choices. So b'shnei yitzrecha, and it doesn't just mean, I used to always say, what does it mean b'shnei yitzrecha? And Mr. Sushram talks about this. There are times when you should use your laziness, when your friends want you to go to a bad place, say no, I'm too tired to go. I think Mr. Sasham talks about stuff like this. That's true also. But he's adding a deeper idea to this, that even when you do something good, inherent in that good thing you did was some point deep inside you which wanted you to not do that, and you struggled and you chose to do it. And that too is part of your nobility of having done it. And it's the same as the opposite. When a person has sunk, but there's always that holier part of him that's always there, able to jump back and be a better person. And now you'll start to hopefully appreciate what I've been telling you, that there are many layers of things that Hirsch says in the beginning, that when they come back and the next time he mentions it, it all makes more sense now. So right on this point, he adds, man, Adam, is akin to Adam, the color red. He is not like a white ray of light. Rather, he is like a broken ray of light. He contains divine light and material energy. He is not a malach, but an Adam. So an Adam is that which is of this world. And with his being of this world, he's in the filter, he's in the prism, which is not the pure white light. And he struggles, and if he chooses correctly, that's part of the beauty of it. It's the Bechira and the elevation within the physical. His primary place is Ba'olam Hazeh, not Ba'olam Haba. His duty is to carry out his godly moral task with his physical nature in this material world. The material world and man's physical nature do not derive from Satan and are not destined for Satan. That is an ill-conceived idea. He's talking about Christianity, folks, which was invented to the detriment of mankind. Not so in the Torah of Israel. Man, with both his inclinations, is the work of God's hand. For in man are joined the heavenly and the earthly, the eternal and the ephemeral. The same God who made the Yetzer Hara made the Yetzer Tov. And the Yetzer Hara can be elevated and is there for us to struggle with. And it keeps you upright to know you have both, to know that that's the point of having both, is to make use of it, to be confronted, know it's there, and elevate yourself with the sparks of goodness that's in you. He says earlier that even the sensual desires within man, there's a point and a place in all. And he says that what Christianity did, he says it all over the place, and we'll make sure every time to point it out. But they ruined man by this misunderstanding. They ruined everything. Because if we're so debased that there's a part of us that's not redeemable and not usable, then we're really made of garbage, and we are garbage, we're bad. And then we need something outside of ourselves to elevate us and bail us out. We need this crazy belief in something outside us because we can't do it ourselves. And here we're learning a very beautiful thing. Elokai neshama shenasata b'tahirahi. My neshama is tahar. And yet I have this body. My life force comes from Hashem. My life force is bound up with this higher spirit. And yet I have this completely other part of me. And I'm capable of elevating myself above it. This is the Aleph Beis of Yiddishkeit right here. And it's a terrible concept. It's ruined man to think that we're made of bad stuff. Then you have no ability to be good. You can't really believe in yourself as good. It's really Rachmanis on the world that they don't believe in themselves. It's not that we just disagree with them. It's a Rachmanis on them that they don't have enough belief in themselves to do the work that they need to. Chaval. One day we'll teach them. They'll be so excited to learn what they're capable of doing when they understand the Emes. Okay, so this is all the Hakdama. Everything we did until tonight is everything until Gan Eden. It's the world being created. It's Adam knowing who he is. It's at least we being taught to this stage. Starting next week, we're going to hear about man being put into Gan Eden.